Mishnah Yomis for Thursday, the 10th day of Tammuz, Topshin Pei Gimel. Masechta Sukkah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Aleph. Hoisa Sukkosa Kimintzrif. If a person makes his sukkah like a teepee, like two walls coming together at the point at the top. So the two walls are reaching to each other, and the walls are serving also as chach. Or he leaned the schach against the wall, which goes therefore the on a slant from the wall down to the ground. Rabbi Eliezer poisel mipnei shein lagag. He says no, the sukkah is not kosher. There's no roof. You can't tell what's the roof and what's the wall. And a slanting wall is not really called an oil. A slanting tent is not called an oil unless it has at least a gag of a tevach. It has to have a horizontal roof that's at least one tevach, at least 8 centimeters wide. The Chachom said, it's kosher, it'll be all right. The Gemara brings a brisa that has the opposite, that has the opinions reversed. Rabbi Eliezer says it's kosher, and the Chachom says it's possible. And indeed, the halacha is that a sukkah that has no roof is possible. Machzelus konim gedola. If you have a mat of reeds and it's large, asah l'shchiva, if you made it specifically for lying upon, like a bed, mekabelas tuma, then it'll be mekabel tuma, and therefore ve'ein mesakrin bo, you cannot use it for schach. As we learned earlier on, you cannot use something that's mekabel tuma as schach. L'sikuch. Now, l'sikuch, the Gemara explains that here we're talking about a small mat of reeds, which by default one would make and usually would be possible because it's usually for lying upon. And it usually is a keli, mekabel tuma. But our Tanav HaMishnah wants to tell us that if you took a small mat of reeds and you made a mat of reeds and you specifically made it for schach, then mesakin bo, you can use it for schach. Ve'in mekabel tuma, and it will not be mekabel tuma. If, however, it's a large mat of reeds, then automatically it's considered by default as for schach, because people wouldn't lie upon such a thing. It's hard and it's difficult to lie upon. Therefore, it's not mekabel tuma, and you can use it as schach. And that's why we said earlier on that it's only when he had a large mat that he specifically made for lying upon that it's no good. But by default, it would be kosher, even if he had no machshava, didn't think about it. It's automatically considered as used for schach, can be used for schach. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, achas ketana v'achas gedola. He says, whether it's a small mat or a big mat, asa l'shchiva, if he made it without any specific purpose in mind, it's automatically considered for use as lying upon, for lying upon, and therefore would be mekabelas tuma ve'in mesakin bo, and you cannot use it as chach. So Rabbi Eliezer holds that even a large mat is automatically by default considered for shchiva, for lying upon, and therefore it's possible. And the only way it'll be kosher is l'sikuch, if he has to specifically, expressly had a kavona that he's doing it, he's making it for schach, he's building this mat for schach, then mesakin bavena mekabel tuma, and it won't be mekabel tuma. Why? Because since it wasn't made for shchiva, it was made for schach, only then it'll be kosher as schach, and it's not called, it wouldn't be considered a keli. The halacha, however, is not like Rabbi Eliezer. The halacha is like the Tana, like the Chachamim, or like the Tanakama, that what we say is by default a large mat is considered kosher because it's not made for shchiva, and by default a small mat is considered possible because it is usually made for shchiva. But if you have a specific purpose the other way, then we will follow his specific purpose in building it. Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph. The main mitzvah of sukkah is eating, drinking, and sleeping in it. Our Mishnah is going to talk about sleeping under a bed in sukkah. When, for example, there was not enough place in the of everybody to sit to sleep in the sukkah, and so someone's sleeping there under a bed in the sukkah. Hayoshen tachas amita basukkah layotze dechavasa. One who sleeps under a bed in a sukkah has not fulfilled his duty. The Gemara explains, we're talking here about a bed which is 10 tefachim high and thus constitutes an ohel, to a tent in its own right, to separate between the sleeper underneath it and the sukkah, and that's why he's not yotze. It's like he's not in the sukkah, it's like he's in a tent. Others say it's because since the mita, the bed, is 10 tefachim high, which that is the minimum shear of a sukkah already, so it's like he's sleeping in a sukkah under a sukkah. When he sleeps in the sukkah under a sukkah, he's not yotze. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, noigin hayinu, shayinu yeshenim tachas hamita b'fnei hazkenim, v'loy omar lanu davar. Rabbi Yehuda says he remembers that we were accustomed to sleep under a bed, and the older people, the Chachamim, saw us, and they never said anything wrong with it. Rabbi Yehuda, in other words, holds that one is allowed to sleep under a bed in a sukkah, and he goes according to his opinion that a sukkah is a diras keva. A sukkah is considered a permanent dwelling. And therefore, which the Torah says you eaten it for 7 days, but it's a diras keva. And since it's a diras keva, since it's a permanent dwelling, therefore, there's nothing wrong with sleeping under the bed, because a bed is a oil aray, a bed is a temporary dwelling, a temporary tent. You move it in and out and move it from place to place. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda maintains that an oil aray, a temporary tent, cannot banish or cannot take away the effect of the sukkah, which is an oil cover, which is considered a permanent tent. Omar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, Maisa b'Tobi Avda shel Rabban Gamliel. There's a story with Tobi. He was the famous servant of Rabban Gamliel who was very careful in mitzvahs. Of course, he wasn't Jewish, but he was chayv in mitzvahs that any Jewish woman is. It was Shahoya Yoshein Tachas Amita. He would sleep under the bed in the sukkah. V'amal hen Rabban Gamliel, Sken Rabban Gamliel would proudly tell the elders, Re'isem Tobi Avdi, have you seen Tobi, my servant? Shuhu Talmud Chochem, V'yodeya Shavodim Turin Men Asukah. He knows that an Aved is potter from a sukkah, because, like a woman, because they're just like women are potter, are exempt from mitzvah saseh shazman groma, they're a time dependent. So also an Aved Kanani is not chayev in a mitzvah saseh shazman that is time dependent. And sukkah, mitzvah sukkah, is of course one of those mitzvahs. Lefichach, therefore, says Rabbi Gamliel, Yoshin hu tachasamita. That's why he's been sleeping under the bed. That's why he's been sleeping under the bed, because he knows how to listen to the words of the Chachamim. Ulefidar keinu lamadna. And according to that way we learned, that even though he only said this, he didn't say it as a teaching, but he said it as sukhaschul. He was just talking off the cuff. He wanted to praise his servant Tovi, that my servant Tovi is a Talmud Chacham. It doesn't matter. The very fact that he said these words tells us shehayoshen tachas amito leyotze dechavasa, that one who sleeps under the bed has not fulfilled his duty. In fact, the Gemara says that even Rabbi Shimon agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that sukkah is a diras keva, sukkah is a permanent dwelling. But this is where he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, is that he holds that even though a sukkah is an oil keva, it's considered a permanent tent, therefore. But an oil aray, a temporary tent, can be mevatel, can stop the effect of the oil keva, of the permanent tent of the sukkah. And he therefore brings a proof from the discussion of Rabban Gamliel that one who sleeps under a bed has not been yotze dechavasa, has not fulfilled his duty.